Well, Brother Duke is a great guy. He knows how to put up with these poor gospel businessmen. He's been fooling around with them long enough, several years. He never gets mad at us. He seems to take whatever we give him. You know, he's going to be here in the afternoons during the convention in January on be preaching and teaching and praying for people for the Holy Ghost. We're going to give him some men. We're going to have a special room back here, and the men's going to come back and help him and have a regular service every afternoon during the convention. Won't that be wonderful? And I think it will be. And I want to cut this real short. When Brother Duplessis comes up here, I want him to answer these prayer requests of Sister Shakirian's in regard to her grandchildren. And I have another prayer request here in regard to Maxine. She's sick in the hospital and her husband's unsaved. But I wanted to say this. I want to, when I have a compliment for somebody here lately, I don't sneak outside and give it to them. I've found that if you're going to head this thing, compliment them in public. I want to tell Brother Duplessis that I enjoyed that grain and green grain and dry grain sermon that he gave this morning more than anything I've ever heard him preach in my life. I went home and I just laid on the bed and just had a time for myself all afternoon all over that sermon. It was really short, but boy, it cut, Brother Duplessis. Well, I asked one of the young ladies if she was just a little short green sprout or was she a kernel of wheat in an old dry sack. She says, I haven't figured it out yet. Well, I haven't either. Brother Duke.
See, it's special for
I'd like us all to stand and sing a chorus before Brother Duplessis comes up here.
Father, we pray thee now, Lord, that in this very hour thou wilt touch those children for whom our sister Shakirian asked prayer, Lord. Oh, meet her, the mother and the children right now, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for Maxine, who is in hospital, her husband who is not saved. We ask thee, O Lord, save that precious soul. Touch her body, O Lord, and answer prayer, because thou hast said, Lord, ask in thy name, it shall be given us.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. This morning, I spoke about the fire and what Jesus said, or what John said, the fire would do. And I told you how the fire would burn up the chaff. Don't be worried about it. By the time the fire gets into the chaff, the wheat has been collected. Now, that message, if you want to know it, those of you who were not here this morning, that book of mine at the door there, you'll find it. That sermon is in there, too. And as I said this morning, that alone is worth a dollar. You would leave a dollar and pick up a book. Tonight, I want to show you another aspect of the fire. You remember, and I'm not going to take time to read all the scriptures, but let's go back and remember that God decided to make man, and after his image and his likeness. But he made man out of dust, out of the dust of the earth. And then, after that beautiful creation, man like God, the image of God, the likeness of God, the power of God. He had control over everything on earth. He was God's representative on this creation. But sin reduced him to nothing. And when man had fallen in sin, God spoke to them. He found them hiding. And then he asked them why they had done this thing. Because Eve said, the serpent. So he said to the serpent, for what you have done, you will sail on your belly. Your generation will always sail on its belly, and dust shall be your food. Dust shall be your food. Then he turned to man and he said, because you have done this thing, and hearken to the serpent, and obeyed not the word of your God, your Creator, you shall die and return to dust. Sinner's sin reduced man from divinity to dust again. God had turned dust into divinity. Now sin returns him to dust. And the best thing you can say about sinful man is serpent food. Serpent says his food is dust. Man is dust. And forever the serpent is after man because he's dust and that's his food. Now, later on we found Israel had sinned miserably. And what happens? Serpents come to destroy them. And there was no escape from the serpent. They had sinned, and sinful man is serpent's food. And so the serpent came and bit them, and they died. Until the Lord said to Moses, raise up a serpent on a staff, a brazen serpent. And whoever shall look to that serpent shall live. There is life in a look. And Christ said to Nicodemus, just like Moses raised up the serpent, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now then, there they had to look. But in 1 Kings 18 we find a place where the prophet challenged wicked men to a contest of fire. And the scripture says, our God is a consuming fire. And he challenged them and says, you bring a sacrifice, build an altar, put it on there, and you pray to your idol, to your gods, that he should give fire. When you're through, I'll pray. The prophet was sure they wouldn't get an answer. So he knew there would be a chance for him. I'll pray. And you know, when he had finished, he had mocked them and said, your God's gone on a holiday, call louder. And they screamed and hollered and they pierced themselves, the blood ran. Oh, they did everything to try and make the fire come. No fire. No fire at all. And then the old prophet prayed, and he began to call upon the Lord. And he said, I know that you always hear me. And when the prophet was praying, the fire came. And what a fire that was. It consumed the sacrifice. It consumed the altar. And around the altar was a lot of water. It consumed the water. And notice, this is the fire of God. The scripture says it consumed the dust. Yes, and when that fire was finished, there wasn't a lick for Satan. There wasn't a lick of dust for him. He left no food for Satan. That to me is a beautiful thought. That the fire of God leaves nothing for the devil. Hallelujah. Jesus says to his disciples, if you believe, you shall take up serpents. How can you take up serpents? Well, you are not serpent food. He couldn't eat you. You've got the fire. Is that true? Well, what about Paul? He was picking up sticks there to light a fire. And when they lit the fire, a viper, a serpent came at him. The heathen around said, this man is a sinner. Look at the judgment that's come upon him. They knew if the serpent bites you, you're a sinner. That's what they thought. Now, of course, if the serpent bites you and you're a sinner, you'll die. And after a while, when they see the man didn't die, they said, he's a god. He's a god. He's not a man. Because if he was a man, he would die. If he was a sinner, he would die. But he's a god. What happened to Saul? God changed him on the way to Damascus. He wasn't the same man. Now here it proves that this man was so charged with the fire of God that though the viper bit him, it did him no harm. Can you see the idea? He wasn't serpent food. There was nothing for the devil. The poison of the devil wouldn't even touch him. He lived through it all. That's what Jesus said. You shall not die when you take up serpents. He said in Luke to his disciples, you can tread on serpents and scorpions. They shall not harm you. And I come to the concluding verse when Jesus talked to his disciples about the Holy Spirit and said that the Spirit would come upon them in the 14th chapter. He says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Hallelujah. In the 30th verse, listen to this. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. The prince of this world, who is he? Satan. He comes, but he's got nothing in me. He won't find any food in me. He won't find anything in me that he can touch. And Jesus died. But he couldn't hold him. He didn't return to dust. He was no serpent food. He was raised. If Jesus was serpent food, if his body was left, he would perish, he would return to dust. But glory to God, though he took upon him the sin of the world, he triumphed. And there was no serpent food in him. He lives. He says, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. In 1 John 5:18, we read, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Hallelujah. When you and I are baptized in the fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire will consume what I said this morning, things that become unnecessary. But he never leaves anything for Satan. To be cleansed by the fire of the Holy Spirit means there is nothing for judgment fire to burn. There is nothing that the enemy can get in you. And oh, I pray that every one of you will see the need of being baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Tonight, the baptizer is here. We want to close this meeting. There are some of you, even before the meeting, that asked for prayer. And I'm afraid there's no time to go to another place here. We'll just ask those who want prayer, and as we close, that you'll come forward. Come right up here. And before we close the meeting, we'll pray for your requests. We'll pray for what you want. My only disappointment in this week is that as I have preached to you here too, I've still had to wait till after the meeting for people to get the baptism and the Holy Ghost. The other day, the Presbyterian minister could have just burst out and speak with tongues, but he thought he had to come forward anyhow to be prayed for. And so he stopped me preaching. He says, please pray for me first. Well, he got close to it. I'm looking for the day when we'll stop this idea. Pray for me that I'll get the baptism. Pray for me that I'll get the baptism. We'll get the baptism. We'll accept it. We'll receive it. There's too much seeking and too little receiving. We'd better get baptize these days. Just present yourself as a candidate to Jesus and get the blessing. And I trust the Lord will, by his grace, baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire so that we can take up serpents and handle the devil. I don't mean you're going to look at snake handlers. I'd rather handle the devil than snakes. But ye shall cast out devils, I believe it. God bless you and give you grace. Now remember, there are two things that the fire does in your life. It consumes everything that is sinful, if you will let it. Secondly, when you have grown and matured, this fire takes away the chaff and leaves the grain, the ripened grain. Do not look for perfect gifts and perfect manifestations in young Christians. Don't even look for perfect fruit in the life of a young Christian. Give them a chance to grow up. Let us be gracious with new converts and not try to run into them and demand from them. There is such impatience amongst the children of God. And so easily they'll point the finger and say, what about so-and-so? I hear it now among my Pentecostal brethren. When they see these new folks in the churches that have received the baptism and the Holy Spirit, they seem to delight to point the finger at them and says, but they still do this and they still do that and they still do the other thing. What about it? They've just come into a blessing. They've just experienced a wonderful blessing. Don't get in a hurry. The Holy Spirit is moving. Then again, I see some of us who have lived and should have been by this time mature Christians, and we still have the weaknesses of babes. Oh, let us grow up. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I acted as a child. That says Paul. He knows there must be a time of growth, but don't let us remain children. And the reason why we remain children is we are afraid to move on. We want to be like we were yesterday. We want to act always like we did. We don't want to grow up. We don't want to move on to a greater experience, to a new experience. We just want to enjoy life. Let's have fun. This is no fun. This is real joy. God bless you. Shall we all stand to our feet as we close in prayer? Oh, Lord, send the fire just now. Oh, Lord, send the fire just now. Oh, Lord, send the fire just now and baptize everyone. Come along as we sing. Oh, Lord, send the fire just now. Oh, Lord, send the fire just now. Oh, Lord, send the fire just now and baptize everyone.
Shall I close? I just want to make one announcement. Brother John Sherritt called me aside. And he said, we're having the convention here next January. So I thought, Carl and I talked, I will just mention it. And then because, I don't know, this is a tremendous idea here. And so he's, Brother Sherritt, I think, figured there's 100,000 homes in Phoenix here, that if we would take 100,000 magazines and just put the Phoenix Convention, take all this out in the last 100,000, just tell about this great convention for these men coming in from all over the country, and that the Phoenix testimonies will be in here along with the advertising of the Phoenix Convention. And he said, what will that cost? Well, I said, I'll just go all the way, take the postage and everything out, because the postage will have to mail from here. So we figured out, including postage, I mean, for mailing 1 cent and a quarter from here, would come out to cents and 4,500s, 3 and 4,500 cents per copy. 100,000 would come out to $3,450. His name is, if we did that, he said, we'd shake the city. Well,
I thank God for Sherrod. He says, I'll pledge, I'm sure he won't mind me mentioning this, he might shoot me afterwards, $500 towards this project. And I thought, well, the best thing to do is just mention it. It's been so wonderful to take so much a month, 100 a month, and this is a very ambitious program, and this is the kind of program that's going to shake the country and the cities. Now, $100,000 would run $3,450. Now, $50,000 would run about $1,700. And Brother Sherrod said, I'll pledge $500 towards it. And $100,000 reach every person in the city of Phoenix about this coming convention in January. And the whole story will be on the cover then. We'll take the whole cover. So may I just leave this with you? And if you feel any leading towards this, to talk to Carl Williams or the brethren here, either Brother Sherrod or Brother Johnson over there, or Earl, or to me about this matter, we'll see where the Lord leads from here. Thank you. I think it's a tremendous thing, and we could shake the city with something like this. I tell you, with everyone in the city reading, every home getting one copy at least. God bless you.
In other words, if there's five other fellows here that wants to give $500 apiece, I think we could accomplish it.
How many?
Five more. Yeah. And if there is five fellows, then they do come around, and they prayed through, why, we'll just do it right here in Phoenix. And I want to thank Brother John for making the offer. Somebody sent a note up here for me to mention the young people in January, and I might say that Earl was elected as one of the youth directors nationally, and that there will be a great youth program here in January, and that of all the announcements of the young people that's been saved at the many different conventions, I'm very proud to say that the greatest number that I have heard was right here in Phoenix. Now, as you know, we want anyone that wants prayer to come on up here like Brother Duplessis said, and we're going to dismiss this right now, and I'm going to ask Brother Gurl here to dismiss us with prayer. And Brother Duplessis, I thank him a lot for being here and putting up with us and preaching to us and everything. May God bless Brother Duplessis. Brother Gurl. Oh, he's telling me that he wants you to dismiss us now. There's another idea.
Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy blessings. We thank Thee for this day. We thank Thee for the work that's been accomplished. And, O Lord, we know that this is not the end. Oh, hallelujah. Thou art with us, and as you said to once, say, tell that fox, I work today and tomorrow, and, Lord, You never end. Hallelujah. We want to work with Thee. We pray Thee, Lord, bless these meetings as they continue. And we pray that the coming convention shall be blessed in a mighty way. Take care, O Lord, of the publicity that might come, and that every home, every heart be stirred in this city and throughout this country and throughout the world, O Lord. Bless Thy people, use Thy people, and let the Holy Ghost move upon all flesh as the promise of God is. We ask in Jesus' precious name, we pray, Lord, for this handkerchief, and we ask Thee that whoever it is laid upon, touch this man, O God, break the fetters of sin in his life, cast out every demon, we pray Thee, and deliver him in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone that comes for prayer tonight, O Lord, meet their need, we pray Thee, in Jesus' name, and keep us all, Lord, safe, bring us home safe, give us rest and quickening of our bodies this night. Bless the churches tomorrow and every service, everyone that goes. Use Thy servants, O Lord, to preach the gospel, and let Thy people serve the Lord with all their heart till Jesus comes. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Tomorrow morning is the last day I'll be here. I'll be speaking at First Assembly in the morning and the evening.